Hello everyone, welcome to the round 4 trade targets and a preview live stream. Bit of an awkward moment there, switched to the screen and then I realized my microphone was not plugged in. Of course you want that to happen. Technical issues always seem to be a part and parcel of doing a live stream on YouTube. Anyone else out there who does live streams or just YouTube in general probably understands my pain. Another bit of pain this week, Teamless Tuesday injuries. It's just carnage, absolute carnage. As you say, Martin Lau, save us mine, carnage for all. Can't save you. I'm in exactly the same boat as you all. I have got plenty of injuries in my team to deal with. I'm sure a lot of people out there are in the same boat. So what can we do but deep breaths and boost. Use them trade boosts, sort out your team. That's all I can tell you. But yes, as Nariak says, it's another boost round. Yep, absolutely. I will be boosting this week, that is for sure. Well, not for sure, but very, very likely I will be boosting. Professional as always, Aman. Yeah, of course, Benny. Can't always be fully professional. You know, we're league fans. We love a bit of the, you know, fringes on the edges or whatever you call it. I don't know, frills on the edges, blah, blah, blah. Can't be fully professional all the time. But thank you to everyone who's in this chat already, starting a little bit earlier today, which is good as always. Sneak peek. Yep, you guys got a sneak peek because I was like, oh, I didn't check my microphone before I logged on, so they're going to see me. So I was like, let me check real quick, change back. But great to finally tune into a live show, man. Oh, Anton, thank you so much. What a car crash this week. Yeah, absolutely it is. And shout out to Anton, one of the biggest Warriors fans that I think exists on this earth. Aman, help me crack 1,000, please. Mate, I'm in the same boat as you, Jason. I also have not yet cracked 1,000. If you guys want to see my ranking, 52,500. It was a green arrow this week, so I'll take it. But yeah, look, haven't cracked 1,000 yet. My average score is, what is it? It doesn't say on the screenshot. But anyway, 985. How am I going, legend? Thank you, Bryce. I'm going very well. Good to talk some Supercoach again on this fine Tuesday evening. Hair looking great. Thank you, John. Of course, the hair is looking good. Had a shower not that long ago. Leave-in conditioner is in the hair. Got to look good for you all. Can we all do a handshake deal and just delete our teams and start again? Yeah, absolutely. This is when I wish Supercoach had a wild card, same as Fantasy Premier League, just to reset my entire team. But fortunately, we don't have that. We only have boosts to help fix up our teams. Best round, 1146. That's a great week, Keith, getting 1,000 plus. Pull some strings and get Sangster to give us a QR code. Yeah, look, I'll message Sangster and I'll get the same as you all. He can't help us. There's no content creator luxury for extra trades. If I had them, you would have known by now. And even then, it probably wouldn't have worked because, you know, if I'm doing trades like KP to Latrell, what are the extra trades useful for anyway? If I'm just going to be doing moves like that and, you know, losing myself points. Benny G, it's always love from me, mate. Now, Hammer or Young, $5. Thank you, Benny G, so much for that super chat. Yeah, let's break the mold a little bit. We'll go straight into the hot topics of the week, but very quick shout out as well to the league. I've extended the join date, so I think it's now like round 13. So I do advise getting into the overall league if you can, just because I will be offering some prizes this year throughout for certain milestone weeks, say by like who's leading by round 13. I've got a few things which I've shown in a previous stream, such as a footy, but also should potentially getting a partnership with Swish to provide a $100 voucher as well to people in the overall group league. So yeah, definitely get in there. Obviously, I think the carnage of the week is pretty obvious in terms of all the injuries. I've got a summary of TLT for round 4, but we might go back to this. I want to speak about Benny's point because I think that's a very big topic of the week. And obviously big injury news, so Cleary out for up to 4 weeks. There's some news floating around that Ivan Cleary said he could actually be back next week versus Manly. More likely though, he'll be back in round 7 after the Penrith Panthers have got their bye in round 6. So likely round 7 return is what we expect. Moses, who probably was going to be the best replacement, he's injured for 8 to 10 weeks, fractured foot. It doesn't look good. Obviously, that caused a bit of a storm yesterday on social media. Brendan Piakoura is out this week, and the Brisbane Broncos have put on their website that they're looking at a 4-week rehab. So I can even adjust that live on the screen. Round 4 weeks out is what we're thinking. So I originally was kind of umming and ahhing what to do. Probably will sell him here. Interestingly, Bryce Cartwright, 4 to 6 weeks was what was being reported, but he's been named by the Eels, so no idea what's happening. Reece Walsh, we know from obviously last week, out 4 to 6 weeks. Cam Murray has been named, but he was seen limping out of training. And Tino Fasumula-Aui out of the rest of the season with an ACL. Some other TLT news we'll probably go back to. Obviously, the big one, I think, is Nathan Cleary. So he is the most sold player this week. 883K, I think he is, or 884 that I've got here. And I guess one of the questions is, do you sell him? I always kind of go with what was my first gut instinct. And, you know, generally that is my best thinking, I guess, is what was my gut feel. Gut feel with Cleary was to sell. Just too much money, I think, 884K. If you're like me and you own Nico Hines, like I was going to plan a whole section on do you sell Nico Hines. I think that's just completely out the window now. We don't even need to talk about that this week. I mean, maybe you could if you want to sell both of them, but the replacements at halfback, as we'll go through, are not very strong. And I mentioned it in my Instagram story this morning while I was walking Rusty the Beagle. I think selling Cleary is the right thing to do. I think it's just too much money in the bank to be sitting on your bench. If you own Hines, you're going to have no halfbacks in round 5. Just sell him now, use your money, and just figure out a way to get him back by round 7, because if you look at the draw from round 7 till Origin, Tigers, Cowboys, Rabbitohs, Bulldogs, Warriors, and then Sharks, that's a run that you're going to want him. So I think absolutely make sure you have a plan to get him back, but yes, I think he is a sell. Now, I think, I'll be honest here, up front, My personal favorite to replace him is Luke Brooks. That's probably who I'm going to go with. Got a good matchup this week against the Dragons. But I think a lot of people, like similar to what I think Benny is asking here, a lot of people aren't enamored with the halfback replacements. And so they're using someone like a Drew Hutchinson via duels, or maybe someone like an Ethan Strange and a Lockie Galvin to actually get in a center wing for Cleary. And I think that is a better move, to be honest, because I think the quality of replacements in center wing is much better than what we have at halfback. So we'll quickly jump to that section now of the stream. We'll get there nice and early because Benny G, I thought we have to do it for that very generous donation. You've got my coffee for tomorrow morning, so thank you very much. So premium center wing targets, and this is on the presumption that you are selling someone like a Cleary to get to one of these guys, or maybe you're upgrading one of your other center wings, someone like a Tane Tuipiki. He's not been named this week. He's been ruled out with the concussion, and there's every chance that CNK could be back next week potentially, and then that could mean that Tuipiki's run as an option for us is over. And so I think in terms of the center wing replacements, I will just say the best one in my opinion is Val Holmes. I think the draw, you know, Broncos this week at home, Broncos at Suncorp actually, but no Reece Walsh. Reynolds should be back, but no Payne Haas, no Piakura. Like, I think it's a good matchup for him. And then they've got Titans in round 5 who just look like, with no Tino, they just look like they're you know, ready for the taking for points scored against them. Then Parramatta, Sharks, again, these are games where I think they can still score points, the Cowboys. Round 8 against Penrith is probably the toughest one, but that's at home. Then you go Dolphins, Titans again, Rabbitohs, Tigers, Roosters. Like, it's an insanely good run, I think, all the way into Origin. So yes, Val Holmes is my number one option. I know it's easy to say he scored 144, but averaging 102. His lowest score so far the first 3 weeks is 54. And that was when he had a terrible game by his, you know, so many errors, and he still ended up getting 54. So he's definitely my number one. I think the common dilemma, as Benny says, is, you know, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido or Dom Young. 600K versus 640K, so similarly priced. I'm also eyeing up these two. Of course, I've got something wrong in my slides. Hamiso's break-even is not 36, it's 1. He's got a very, very low break-even, so I'll correct that while I can. And Dom Young has got a negative 15 break even. So which of the two do you go? So Benny, one of your points that you had mentioned on Twitter that I think was very valid was about, you know, Hamiso doesn't really have a very good floor. Like, he scored a hat trick in round 2 and he still scored sub 100. I think he scored just over 100 from memory. So he doesn't really have the base stats. Whereas a Dom Young, you know, he scored 150, only scoring the one try. But he did get, obviously, a lot of... he got a couple of tries and lots of tackle busts. Interestingly enough, their base power numbers are actually very similar this season, 42 and 46. So quite similar floors. And in terms of a ceiling, I think, you know, the benefit of Hamiso is that he plays the Titans this week, who we've just spoken about as being a terrible... as a really good matchup for Hamiso. And then he's got the Tigers next week, which is... I mean, you can say it's good or not, depending on how you view the Tigers. I think the draw is better for hammer. The Titans matchup this week is great. Broncos round six is good. And then they don't leave Queensland really for a long, long time. Garrick to 72. Yep. Thank you guys. Of course. I've made some mistakes in here, of course. Thank you for correcting me. Yes, as I said, trying to do the stream early, it meant I had to rush pulling together these slides as fast as I could. But yeah, so Hammerso's draw I think is better. But Dom Young is playing in a better team. I mean, I think that's like the Roosters are looking very, very good. Penrith this week is obviously going to be tough, but it is at home. And we have obviously a Penrith team that don't have Fisher Harris, no Scott Sorensen, and no Nathan Cleary. I think defensively they're still going to be good. Like, I don't think they're going to be a team who will concede, you know, like 20 or, you know, maybe concede like 30 plus points. We just don't really feel like that's going to happen. They're a very system-based team. But then next week's good with the Bulldogs, and then it's the Knights. Again, it's a very up-down draw, but I think you're backing on the team here. And he does have the bigger negative break even of negative 15. So that's kind of a few summary things about the two of them. I think if I had to pick just one of the two, Benny G, I'm going to address this to you, as this was your question. I think a lot of people out there are thinking the same. I would go Dom Young. So I've kind of changed my opinion slightly on this. Now, me personally, I already have Jack Bostock from the Dolphins, so I've kind of already got at least one backline player. The thing with Dom Young is that, you know, I look at last season stats. So he was like one of the leading try scorers in the NRL, and he averaged 63. And the season before that, I think he played limited games and he averaged 53. So I'm looking at it as last season with a good Knights team, don't get me wrong, he averaged 63 points in an even better Roosters team. You probably think that that 63 average, you know, playing the same position, right wing, you know, there's more likely going to be probably a 66 to 67 average. Hammerso had 59 last year as an average. He's definitely improving as a player, but if we're looking at an improvement in his average, I could be totally wrong on this, by the way, but I think from 59, he might go up to like a, I don't know, a 65 average. He does have a lower base as well. So I'm just kind of looking at it as I'm backing the team, I think, a little bit more here. I know the draw is probably better for Hammerso, but at least I personally have Bostock already. Whereas with Dom Young, I don't have anyone from the Roosters backline. So I do like getting someone from the Roosters backline. I missed out on, not missed out on Teddy, but I probably can't get Teddy in this week realistically. But yes, I think Dom Young could be a really good option. The only concern is potentially that points get shared with the Roosters backline players. So if I look at, say, Suoli'i from last year, he averaged 59 and then 56 in the years prior. And if you look at Tupou, he's probably about the same. I think he averaged, 59 last year from memory. He averaged 55 and then 58 and 59. So you are looking at probably at least a high 50s average out of the Roosters wingers. With Dom Young, potentially it could be more. So yeah, very, very tough to rate the two. I do generally like Roosters wingers. I like wingers for Supercoach. The Roosters wingers probably, I don't know, it's kind of hard to see because there's such a stacked back line. You know, compared to like the fullback of Hammerso, I think that's definitely better position that he plays. So I'm kind of ranting. I like Steezer's comment here, it's probably fair. Here to find out who Aman rates the worst so I can pick him up. Yeah, based on my my rankings and stuff recently, yeah, I think that's a pretty fair shout, Steezer's. And guys, there's lots of questions coming in, which I appreciate, but I'll try to get through to them towards the back end of the stream, but also just tackling the questions throughout as well. But yeah, I think I'm slightly leaning Dom Young just because he does have the negative break even, so at least you can make some money out of him, probably a bit more so than Hammer. And, you know, you're probably factoring a better team, I think, in general. But, like, it's honestly so close between the two. And I think it is a bit team-dependent. If you already own, like, a Roosters backline player, do you go someone like Hammer? Or if you own, like, a Bostock, do you then go Dom Young just to kind of spread it out a little bit? So, very long way, roundabout way of addressing your question, Benny G, but that's kind of my thoughts at the moment. I will rank Garrick above the pair of them. He's obviously much more expensive, so that goes, you know, 753k, but it's a great matchup against the Dragons. I think someone earlier was asking about how do I think about how Garrick will go versus Penrith next week. yeah, the thing with Penrith, it's a home game next week, which is good. And again, they won't have the likes of Cleary or Sorensen, so it's going to be not as strong of a Penrith team. So I do like Garrick as well as an option. I would rank Holmes and Garrick above Dom Young and Hammer. If you don't have RTS already, what are you doing? This is a good question. So I actually haven't put RTS on the slide, probably with oversight of he's very highly owned, so I figured people probably weren't looking to buy him. So that's obviously one of the big things from this week, that he has been named at fullback. Yeah, look, I think if you don't have RTS already, even playing in the centres, he's averaging 67, you know, 46, 75, and a 79. Only one try in that period of time as well. Like, I probably would think, yeah, this is a really great week to get him playing at home at fullback against the Knights. Yeah, I think if you don't own RTS, this is probably the guy actually who I'd be getting above a Dom Young or a Hammer, unless you want to maybe go antipod. But like, you know, after the Knights, we're looking at the Rabbitohs, you know, the way that they're going, that looks a good game for points. Manly at home, again, looks like a good game for point scoring. Then you're looking at the Dragons and then the Titans. It feels like a good run for the Warriors. So yeah, I think RTS is a really good purchase. He's also not going to be as big of a moneymaker, only with the 22 break even. But yeah, I do think I'd get RTS. You know, playing at fullback is obviously really, really handy as well. Yeah, and Antoine, this is a good point you mentioned. What about DWZ? So I literally just had no space in this slide to put DWZ as well, but he's doing actually very well. He's averaging 74 this season. So the first week, obviously a little bit on the lower side, only scoring 40, but then 99, 74. Again, he's very expensive. He's 723K. That's probably the only detracting thing from him, because I think if you're paying 700k plus, I'd probably look to go for a, obviously they're quite a bit more expensive, but a Val or a Garrick, just because they're like a absolutely proven, I think, super coach gun in the centers. With DWZ, was one great season last year. It looks like it's going to resume. He's averaging 71, I should say, sorry, not 74. And as I said, the run is good. So again, he's probably a nice pod shout, but that's probably what it is. I think if you've got the money in the bank and you want to go with the pod, then I'd go DWZ. But I think apart from that, you're probably looking to go maybe cheaper with someone like a Hammer or a Dom Young. Have we talked about what to do with my Moses problem yet? Look, Steezers, I think if you've got Moses, you sell. I'll get on to the actual halfbacks in the next section. But this is obviously one of the options that you can do as well, is Cleary down to a center wing. Gazaraki, this is a good question. Amon, if I can do Cleary to Teddy, is that better than Dom Young? Yes, absolutely. Teddy is looking fantastic. I think he's going to be pushing over 800k very soon. He's also got a negative or very low break even. Yeah, he's looking really good. It's a Penrith home game, and then the run is up and down, but look, Teddy's showing so far he's kind of matchup proof. Yeah, I think Cleary to Teddy is a really strong move. And would I go Val over Garrick if you had the cash to do it from Moz? Yes, I would go Val. As I said, I think the run for the Cowboys is really good. And for him, you know, you're probably getting just like a keeper. He's obviously very expensive at 816K. In terms of other guys who I had mentioned or I've got in the centers, just if you're, again, this is probably more, not necessarily flavor of the week, but someone like a Lomax, 688K. Like the matchups aren't like, they're not bad actually. Manly, Knights, West Tigers, Warriors. It's a fairly decent run over the next four. But he's obviously not getting a lot of interest this week, mainly because, one, he's more expensive than Garrick. He's more expensive than Dom Young and Hamiso, and doesn't have as low of a break even. But again, I think if you want someone like a Lomax who's goal kicking, then I think, you know, you could go him as well. So Jay is asking, Dom Young over Lomax. It just feels like the time of the season where, you know, making money is still important, at least with with Dom Young having a minus 15, and he's going to have that 150 in his rolling average for 2 weeks as well. So it kind of feels like at least he can be a stepping stone to someone else. You can downgrade him again, or he could just turn out to be a keeper. Again, you're looking at the team as well. You're preferring, I guess, him playing in the Roosters to the Dragons. So I probably would go Dom Young over Lomax. like Lomax, we know he's got a good floor, probably a better floor than Dom Young. But again, you probably want to just get a piece of this Roosters backline, who right now are looking very, very good. Would you stack the center wing and have a second row forward of Smithies, Curran, and Fermor, or firm up the second row forward a bit? Would get Holmes and Val with RTS and May. Holmes and Val? Who's Holmes and Val? Not fully getting the back half of your question, Ryan. But yes, I think center wing is looking very tempting all of a sudden. Like, you can see all of these options. And I'm excluding guys like DWZ. I'm not even talking about someone like a Joey Manu, who's started also with a pretty good average, I think over 70. There's a lot of good center wing options. So I think I would, I'd be, and the second row forward, apart from the guns, even then, they're not doing like so much better than kind of your mid ranges. Yeah, I'd probably want to stack the center center wing, I think, in my opinion. Holmes and Young feels like a great couple of trade-ins this week. And if you had to get one of Dom, Young, or Val now, plan is to bring in the other next week. If your plan is to bring the other in next week, then I think shock karma. I think you just get Dom Young this week purely just because he's got that negative 15 break-even. Val Holmes has a break-even of 38. I want to double-check that this is actually correct based on the track record of my slides so far today. But yeah, I think Val hasn't got as low of a break-even, and so I think I'd probably just get the guy who's got that negative break-even. Yeah, I think Matthew, blasphemy, Lomax, goal kicks, maybe the break-even is a bit tempting. The break-even is definitely, it's a break-even and it's recency bias. Like, he just scored 150 points. There's a good chance he probably doesn't score that again all season long. But we know that from, 2023, he can get these big 100-plus scores. Like, we're looking at, 148 in round 5 last year, 111, 109, 104. There are going to be some lower scores in there. So, if he scores only, say, one try, he can have these games where he only gets, like, say, 50. But he's kind of at his value. Like, he averaged 63 last season, and we know he can get these big tons. And I think you're probably just buying into a really red-hot Roosters attack, or what it looks to be at the moment. Yeah, it's just with the Dragons, as Jay says. Yeah, it's just about the Dragons and them scoring points. Are they just going to be a bit off and on? Hot and cold, we just don't quite know. Whereas we feel like with the Roosters, we're buying into a really strong attack. That's kind of... I didn't really speak about the likes of Karaz or Gagai. Again, someone like a Gagai is pretty safe. He's got a really strong base work rate of 54. Same with Karaz of 57. This is base power. So these guys are probably going to be really solid guys. Probably not going to have quite the ceiling of, say, like a Dom Young maybe, or a Lomax, because Lomax skull kicks. But again, if you're looking for maybe a safer option, you can also consider these guys. But I do prefer the guys who've got that lower break even. Hamiso's got that really great matchup this week as well. Manu isn't worth considering. No, Jay, as I said, I literally talked about him, I think, 2 minutes ago. There's so many center wings, like, it's impossible to fit them all on like one slide. But yeah, like, Joey Manu is also perfectly viable as well. Like, I think he's actually about the same price as Dom Young. I think he's around the low 600s. So yeah, he's definitely a consideration as well. But again, if you're looking between him and Young, I do generally prefer the winger for Supercoach point of view. So yeah, probably prefer Young. But as Steezer said earlier, I think because I'm going Dom Young over Hamiso, it's probably just safe to trade in Hamiso this week. Alright, so that's kind of my roundup of the center wing options. I'm seeing a few scattered questions about keeping Hines or selling, blah, 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 blah. You took a headphone. No, Jay, you're all good, no problems. I'm seeing a question, Appy or the Hammer this round from Ryan. So if we go to the hooker slide. So I think with hooker, as I said, probably in the wrap-up stream, and I think I mentioned it a couple of times maybe last week as well, Coruscant's looking unbelievable. He's got a negative 22 break-even. So again, I'd use the same argument, Ryan, as I said before, with the guy who's asking between Dom Young and Val. I would just take the guy who's got that negative break-even. I know Hammer is got a very good matchup this week, but you can see him scoring a try, maybe a try assist, and getting like 75. You could see the same from Appy. The thing with Appy is just that I think he's probably going to be, him and Grant could very easily be just the number one and two hooker. He's got a pretty good run as well. So if you look at the draw here from round 4, you're looking at Parramatta this week, then the Dolphins and Dragons. Gets a bit tough with Penrith and Broncos, but look, he's goal kicking. And even in the first week when he the Tigers didn't score that many points, he did score a try as well. He's looking very good in attack. So he still scored 80 points, even with only, I think, one attempt at goal in the second round matchup for the Tigers. So I think the next few games are pretty good. So I would prefer to go Appy over Hammer this round, mainly just because he's got that big negative break even. There's not really much more, I think, on the hookers, to be honest, because, you know, I think most people, well, a lot of people would have done big trades last week to go, say, Levi to Lusick. That's what I did. I think if you're in the position where you didn't do that move, and because of Cleary, you've now got money to go Levi to Coruscant, I think that's a really, really strong move. I think Levi's got a, still has, does he have a negative 16 break even? I think I've not updated that one yet. Again, of course I haven't. I believe it's low, but I don't think it's in the negatives. No, it's 16, according to NL Supercoach stats. So I've just forget to do the deletion of the negative sign. But yeah, so 16 break even. Haven't even got his average in here, of course. This is the problem. He's averaging 38. Here we go, 38. So I think Levi to a Coruscant is a really strong move this week if you're a Levi owner still. Probably the big question, obviously, if you're a Lusick owner like myself, you keep him still. He's got a negative break even versus the Tigers. But I think if you are someone like a Harry Grant owner like me, I don't think, like, I'm probably, like, I'm personally not going to be doing the Grant to Coruscant move this week. Obviously, a lot of stuff has cropped up. But so the max, this is my exact situation. Would I trade Grant to Appy if you have Lusick? So I think I'm not, if people want to do it, I think I wouldn't stop you because you are going to free up some money. You're going to get a guy who's got a negative break even, and then you could look to just get Grant back in round six, because I think from round six onwards, you probably do want Harry Grant. He's got the Bulldogs, Roosters, Rabbitohs, Titans. Like, the draw does open up. Even Broncos in round five doesn't look that bad. So I think it's a fine move to free up funds and then to get back to Grant, maybe via Lusick again in round, maybe in round five or six. I'm personally not doing it just because I think I know I'm going to want Grant back. And we knew that the draw was going to be tough to start off with, so nothing's really changed. Probably the only thing that's changed is how good, I guess, Appy is looking as an option as the goal kicker, and just in general with NRL play, he's looking very strong. So I can't fault the move. If you haven't got too many fires, like if you've avoided Piakura, maybe it's only Cleary as an option. You know, Cleary down to say like a Brooks, which I like. Grant down to Coruscant. You've got probably then bulk cash to go with someone like a Val Holmes, for example. Like, those kind of moves I don't mind because you are getting in guns for guns. So you're not necessarily losing out too much on the points. But all I would say is just try to get a plan back for Grant because, again, by round five or round six, Hughes will be back. Munster might be back. Nelson and Solomona should be back. Melbourne all of a sudden are going to get a lot of their big guns returning. And I think Grant is going to be really an option. And that's the other thing as well. If you sell Cleary, you're probably prioritizing Cleary in round seven. At the same time, you're trying to bring back Harry Grant. Like, that's a lot of trades to bring in a lot of expensive guys. So we do probably need to miss out on one or two. And I think at the moment, because I've got these other things, like if I sell Cleary, I know I'm going to want him back. That just means I just don't think I can afford personally to do Grant out as well. It just feels like I'm going to be booking in too many trades. Ian Cipelli, Brandon Smith to Coruscant. You already have Grant. Yeah, I think Brandon Smith to Coruscant is a big upgrade. And I think you've locked in then your hookers for the rest of the season. Coruscant might play Origin based on the way he's playing. But if he doesn't, then you've got perfect cover for Grant during that Origin period. And yes, I'm definitely Steezes in your view of I'm in the boat of wishing I started with Appy. Yeah, for sure. I would have saved myself obviously quite a lot of money and could have used that elsewhere in my team. Lusick to Appy, a good move. Got Robson as your hooker one. No, see, I think, again, I love a username, Pablo Escobar. Just have to shout it out. I don't like the Lusick to Appy move just because Lusick is still making some money. And again, there's no Brendan Hands name this week. It's a good matchup against the Tigers. He could have more responsibility, as someone said earlier in the chat. Rehabs for quitters. Lusick might get a bit more responsibility with Moses out. We could see a bit of a bounce back game from Lusick potentially. So yeah, I'm in the camp of not going for Coruscant straight away if you're a Lusick owner, just because you do have that negative cash, which is maybe a little bit hypocritical when I was saying go Levi to Lusick last week, but you're only paying like 70k or 80k to do that move. In this case, you're paying like, you know, almost 200k. So it's a much bigger cash upgrade that you're trying to do to get to Coruscant. All right, that's my kind of summary on the hookers at the moment with Appy. I will quickly go, where do I want to go? I wanted to go to halfbacks. Yep. So if we spoke a lot already about the center wings that you can target for this week. Actually, I might take this question from Jaden Drury. How do I switch Cleary to a center wing via Hutchinson without any other halfback center wing duels? So all you have to do is on your Supercoach page, if you just press trade out of Cleary, you should see a little S appear in Hutchinson's, above Hutchinson's name, if you've got Hutchinson in your center wing. And so you press that little S button, Hutchinson should then swap into your halfback where Cleary was, and then the app will be showing you selling Cleary for a center wing. So that's how you would do it, Jaden. Hopefully I've explained that in layman's terms. And if you don't bring in Appy this week, when do you think I should target him? I think whenever it, maybe whenever Lusick's kind of peaked in cash growth, maybe that's when you go for Coruscant. Broke boy. So we'll take a few questions here about Cleary now and the halfbacks. Should you hold Cleary if you've got halfback coverage, or you sell him and buy him back when he returns? Again, we didn't really talk about it in too much detail, but I'm in the camp of selling, even if you do have halfback coverage, because it is a high upside position. It's a good scoring position, although to be fair, we haven't seen a lot of great halfbacks at the moment. But it's just 883K. He could be back round 7, but it's hamstring injury. Hamstrings just feel like one of these ones where there could always be setbacks or issues. So I'm kind of in the camp of, I think, just sell and then try to have a plan back to get him back. So Xander Roche, I can see your question. You don't need to spam it. Who should I put in for Cleary? You can get anyone. I'll text Deezus here. Townsend. Yeah, look, I put Townsend here only because I saw a lot of people looking to... I saw some people online bringing him in, and I was just like, I only put him here to say no, don't bring in Chad Townsend. In the last 4 seasons, he has been averaging not very well, and I think that's what you're going to get. I think you're going to get... Don't get sucked in by the 59 average he's got so far. You're looking at 38, 39, 47 in the last 3 seasons. So yeah. Chad Townsend is not an option, but I put him in there just because I know some people were looking at him. if you were to get anyone at halfback, I think it's really annoying, because I think if we knew he was goal kicking, I would go probably SJ. I kind of changed my thinking because Newcastle at home is good, Rabbitohs good for points, Manly at home good. Then you're looking at Dragons and Titans. I don't know if Anton Poso is still in the chat, but or if he has any inside word or any idea as to how, or any reason as to why SJ is not goal kicking. But I think SJ could be a really good option. He does have a very high break even of 134, but there is a really good run of games in the next 5, I think, for points. Even after that, actually, Knights again in round 9. I think, yeah, the round 4 to round 9 run is pretty good. And I guess all I'm looking at is with your halfback replacement. Again, assume Cleary is back around 7. Just how are you going to get there? Now, granted, you could go SJ, and then, if you're a Hines owner, you just say Hines isn't cutting the mustard, and I just go Hines to Cleary. That could actually be an option for you in round 7. So it's good to think about who you might be bringing in. You might sell back to Cleary, but it could also just be Hines as well. So I think I would probably go SJ. It's not ideal that he's not goal kicking. He hasn't been averaging the best with only a 46, but look, it is a good run of games, I think, coming up. So from a draw point of view, I do like SJ. 66, 26 and 47 in the first 3 weeks isn't fantastic, but that 26 did come against Melbourne, and then Canberra were pretty good as well when he scored 47. So I think the run of games is pretty good. So I think SJ probably for me would be the number one replacement. After that, I personally prefer, to be honest, I think after him, I would ideally go Jerome Hughes, because of that really good run that he's got from round 5 onwards. The only issue is that he's got the bye this week, so you can't really buy him. And then I think if you hold Cleary this week, then you're looking at, okay, it's only round 5, and then round 6 is a bye, and then you kind of maybe think, okay, I hold Cleary. You could definitely hold Cleary. That's not necessarily a bad thing to do, but I think most people are probably going to be selling him. Benny G says, I'm nothing Cleary, rest of the options just don't do it for me at the price. A2D2 says, thoughts to just run the one halfback for a couple of weeks, stash the cash and spend the money on, say, a Garrick, Tungo or Turbo. Look, I don't hate it. If you go down to, like, I'm trying to think of a cheap halfback option, maybe someone like a Drew Hutchinson, maybe even just to get the duels, then yes, I think you can use that money. We talked about a lot of the center wing options. A lot of them are probably much better than the halfback replacements. So Ryan saying Cleary to a center wing gun via Hutch or someone like Brooks. I do think I'd prefer the center wing gun. And of that centre wing gun, I'm probably saying, like a Val or a Garrick, maybe a Domjan or a Hammer. I think Domjan and Hammer are pretty similar to Brooks, because the thing with Brooks I do like about him, he's averaging 64. He scored only 53 last week, but, he lost out, and I think a try assist because of that obstruction call against the Manly Sea Eagles. So I think he could have actually had an extra 12 points. And then we saw him drop a couple of balls for tries in the first couple of rounds as well. So I think his average could potentially have been even better. And going Brooks means I can upgrade someone in my centre wing to like a Domjan. So I'm personally probably looking to go Brooks. It's a good matchup this week against the Dragons. Penrith at home isn't ideal, but look, it's an understrength Penrith team. And then Warriors is away. It's tough, but then it's the Titans round seven. Although, I could do Brooks back to Cleary in round seven. But yeah, I think I like the Dragons matchup this week. I like what I've been seeing out of Brooks and Manly. So I think Brooks is probably the person I would be going to. I would rank SJ and Hughes ahead of him. But SJ without the goal kicking then feels a little bit similar to Brooks again, where, neither are goal kicking. After that, you've probably got Cherry Evans. But then again, I think if you're going a Manly half, just go Brooks and take that money saving. Or you go Sam Walker. We spoke about the Roosters duel already. He is the goal kicker. He only played 47 minutes last week, but he did score a double and was on 56. So that could have been obviously much better because he obviously missed out on a fair few amount of goal kicks. Just him being on the field, he would have probably taken a few more goal kicks as well. So I actually don't mind Sam Walker as well. He is goal kicking for a good Roosters team. So he's probably a bit more of a pod play, a little bit more rocks and diamonds because he has got the very low base stats. But I think if you're buying into the Roosters, I actually don't hate the Sam Walker shout as a trade-in. Actually, that's got me thinking. I could even go Cleary to Sam Walker and maybe then get Hamiso, and maybe I don't get Domjan. But he does have a high break-even. I think I've liked a lot what I've seen from Brooks over the first 3 weeks. So I think I'm going to just go with my eye test here. I've been spruiking Brooks as well in the season so far. So I think I'll personally be going Brooks. I like this question from Boise. Thinking about nuffing my entire team and trying again next year. Thoughts? Yep. Good move. See you in 2025, Boise. I can imagine a lot of people are feeling very similar. And as you say, Ian, Brooks was also 1 centimeter away from a try. He had a foot on the line. That's very true as well. So I think there have been points that Brooks could have scored that he has left on the table. That is why I'm appealed by him. The only other one I've got in this list was a Ben Hunt. Again, this is purely just because he's averaging 63. I think he scored 77 last week, and he should have had an extra try assist because Vitale Mariner dropped the ball stone cold over the try line. But, personally, I wouldn't go Ben Hunt. Again, you're banking on the Dragons here. He's not a goal kicker, so he doesn't even have that. So I think, Brooks would be... not Brooks. Ben Hunt would be a big pod, but not for me personally. And I think if you're going cheap, a couple of people have mentioned Aiden Caesar, so Mr. Callio and Riley O. I think Aiden Caesar probably is a good option as well, actually, if you are looking to go really down in price. So say something like what Benny G was saying, which was just take the money out of the position, use that money to stack the center wing. And then if you've got the duels, you can always trade one of the center wing guys back to your halfback. Don't mind that play as well. He's 345K, scored 52. He did take one goal kick, but I suspect that Coruscant is going to take the majority of the goal kicking. And yeah, look, Caesar up until round seven could be the perfect cash cow, actually. He doesn't have a low break even, but he does have Parramatta, Dolphins, and then the Dragons. He could be a perfect 3 week play before you actually move to Cleary. So again, the Caesar shout, I'd actually prefer him, to be honest, to Drew Hutchinson. So yeah, I don't mind actually going Caesar if you're looking for a cash downgrade, especially with the next three runs, pretty good. I'm seeing some people still talking about Nico Hines, like Tour Pro say selling Nico doesn't make sense. The only reason I haven't really prepared him much on it is just because of the whole issues we've had with Cleary being injured, Piakura being injured, Moses being injured. It just doesn't now feel like Hines out is the play to do. It feels like instead just get the guy, sell the people who are actually injured and not playing, whereas Hines at least is a warm body. So this week, I mean, if you've got the flexibility, or you've missed out on a lot of these injuries, then I don't hate selling Nico. Again, we're talking about all of these same replacements anyway. But I think if assuming Cleary wasn't injured this week and we were thinking about Nico Hines as a sell, I was probably still, I think, going to keep. That was me personally, just because of, I think, he's already dropped so much in cash. I think that's probably not ideal. James is saying, what about sell Cleary for Brad Schneider? again, I don't like that one. I know he's obviously the plug and play for the Penrith Panthers while Cleary's out, but would he be the goal kicker, actually? Who would be goal kicking for Penrith now? Because Stephen Crichton's not there anymore. Luai doesn't goal kick. I actually don't. Who's going to goal kick? Let me know in the chat, guys, if you guys know. I don't know who's actually goal kicking for Penrith. It could actually be Schneider, because he did goal kick for the Raiders from a couple of seasons ago when he was a bit of a cheapie. So, yeah, I think Schneider could actually be the goal kicker for Penrith. But the only issue with Schneider is that he also then has the bye in round six. I'd ideally get someone who doesn't have a bye in the next 3 weeks, especially if you're trying to get a stepping stone back up to Cleary. How long is Cleary out for? It's going to be most likely around 7 return, but he could potentially be back next week is what Ivan Cleary said. But yeah, it's probably most likely going to be around 7 return. I love the shouts. Tom saying Isaiah Yeo, Gazaraki Yeo is the goal kicker. Jay saying halfback Yeo. That would be hilarious if Isaac Yeo started goal kicking. But it could be possible. Could be possible. All right, I think we've covered the halfbacks in quite a bit of detail. There's a lot of questions coming in, so we'll try to get those tackled towards the end of the stream. Just seeing what other things we haven't covered yet. Fullback roulette. So probably not really much of a roulette happening this week. That was more of a last week consideration, you know, people selling the likes of a Ponga and a drink order, etc. So I won't spend too much time. The only real probably options I'll note here is you've got Teddy with a negative 8 break even. Got a really good matchup, what looks like now with Penrith with these injuries. And yeah, just looking very good in general. Tool Pro, yep, you've read my mind. Is Gutho a buy with the goal kicking? I think if you are still in the market for a fullback this week, and if you want to go, like, I think Turbo still would be one of the two I'd want to have in my team. Drinkwater, to be honest, I know he lost some money, but he's got a 72 break even. He scored a ton last week. And as we saw with Val Holmes, that run for Cowboys, I think, is really, really strong. So I'd probably still like Drinkwater over someone like a Gutherson. You've got Ponga, who's still goal kicking. The Knights run really opens up from round 5 as well. So while Gutho, I think, is really tempting when he's goal kicking, he's got 136 break even. So part of me wonders, I know it's a Tigers matchup, but you know, they were good last week. Could you maybe wait a week, see how he goes, see how the team goes without Moses, and then maybe you go to someone like Gutherson? But I think Gutherson could be a really good shout, because I've always wanted him in Supercoach when he's goal kicking. That's generally when he's the best, because he obviously adds more points to him. So yeah, Gutherson is definitely a pod shout. The only issue is that, you know, apart from Latrell on this list, I prefer Ponga, Turbo, Drinkwater, Teddy and Pappy, I think, to Gutherson. But Gutherson could be a pod. Gladys or Ponga, Knights only just beat a very weak and Storm outfit. As a Knights supporter, I'm scared. Dylan Edwards is a goal kicker. Okay, thanks guys for shouting, for clarifying that. Well, I haven't even got Dylan Edwards on this list yet. Maybe you go Dylan Edwards as your fullback of choice if you are looking for one. Of course, the only issue there is the round 6 bye doesn't help things. So probably not too much more, I think, on the fullbacks. I think most people made their big trades. The only thing is probably, like, look, as a Latrell owner, some people were asking, would you sell Latrell this week? I'm not going to. It's a Bulldogs matchup. I think I have to keep him this week and see how it goes. And then I think I will reassess next week. So yeah, as Steezer says, if Latrell doesn't get me 120 as captain this week, he will have the shortest contract of the year. There's a very good chance I sell Latrell next week, which is another reason why I want to see what happens with all of these guys. Like, you know, obviously Teddy is not ideal because he's got a negative break even, but I could still go him next week. I could go Pappy, who's 690K, got a negative 10 break even with a really good run coming up. Could go Gutherson if he looks good. I could go back to Ponga. It's all wide open. So there's a very good chance that I'd sell Latrell next week as well, but I just don't think you can sell him this week when he's got a Bulldogs matchup. All right, well, we've covered the hookers. Second row forwards, we haven't really covered the second row forwards in too much. I'll quickly just maybe refer to the break-evens, just for maybe some downgrades that people are looking at for this week. So, you know, someone like a Lockie Galvin, haven't mentioned yet on the stream. I think do what you can to be able to bring in Galvin this week. You know, if you've got the duels, maybe Cleary to him to make bulk cash. But yeah, negative 62 break even. Really good scores in his first couple of weeks. And he's got a really good base work rate as well. I think he base powered 49 last week. Yeah, so courtesy of NRL Supercoach Stats. In the first 2 weeks, he's based 35. scoring 49 and 72. So he's got a good work rate on him. I think he looks, I think him and Caesar look like they're going to be the halves for the Tigers. Good run, as we mentioned, the next three. Galvin is actually a playable option as well this week. I might even consider playing Galvin myself in my team. Other options, we've got Blaise Talangi with a negative 28 break even. So I'm happy to wait a week on this one. He's only played the one game so far, scored well with 67. But I want to wait a week. We don't have to bring him in this week. His price isn't going to change until next week. But I'm very keenly watching him because he could be my replacement next week for someone like Jacob Gagai. I could very easily go Gagai. I could very easily go Gagai to him next week. William is saying, thoughts on Samuela Fainu. So yeah, I think he's solid. Negative 32 break even. I've got some stats on him somewhere, don't I? Here I go. Yeah, so negative 28, or 30, whatever it is. Negative break even, big negative break even. A 54 average in 52 minutes. Decent work rate, 0.77 PPM. I think if you're looking for a second row forward downgrade this week, he's probably the best option if you are looking at specifically that position. I probably won't get him this week just because like I've already made a few moves in the last couple of weeks to bring in guys with big negative break-evens. I don't need to chase every single guy who's got negative break-even. But yeah, he looks pretty decent coming off the bench. Last week's minutes weren't fantastic. His minutes, what were they actually? Yeah, his minutes were slightly down. So he played 46 minutes last week, whereas the week before he played 58. So I know the negative break-even is tempting. I think he's going to be a safe kind of 35 to 45 averaging player, which means he will make some money, but he could maybe be a bit of a slow burn because he did score a try in the first week that he played as well. So that did boost up his score in round one. That was the highest score he had was in round one, or his first match. So that's going to drop out of his rolling average first as well. So I've got a feeling he's going to be someone who may be a slow burn. But again, if you're looking for a downgrade, I probably prefer him to Finifuliaki, just because Finifuliaki is more expensive now at 322k. People earlier in the stream were asking about Piakura. Is he a hold? So I don't have it in the slides anywhere, but pretty much on the Broncos website, they've posted that they're looking at a 4-week rehab for him. So I think being out for 4 weeks, I will probably sell Piakura this week. I don't think he's a must sell if you've got other fires to fight. You could hold him until next week, but I think at 414k, you know, my preferred replacement is a Kai Pierce-Paul, a little bit cheaper, 391k, no Dylan Lucas in the 17. So I think even Pierce-Paul last week with Lucas on the bench played 80 minutes. We know the run is coming up, is really good for the Knights from round 5 onwards. Very low break even as well. I will probably do Piakura to Kai Pierce-Paul. It doesn't free up a lot of money, but yes, I think Pierce-Paul is probably someone who I'd be wanting to get in this week. Luca is asking, should I bring Kai Pierce-Paul in for Luki or for Piakura? Probably for Luca. So Luki is more expensive. You'll get more money out of the trade. And Luki's out for a longer time than Piakura as well. So Luki would be the one who I'd be selling. Jen's asking, hey, I think a lot of new coaches are not familiar with how to trade Cleary to a center wing via Drew Hutchinson. Can I demo on the screen? I can, but I don't have Drew Hutchinson. So we'll have to do it on another player, but I'll get to my team in the next section of the stream, so I'll definitely be able to show that, no problems. But yeah, Ape Index has actually put in a pretty good description of it actually already in the chat, but we'll show that as well when I get to my team. So Piakura is probably going to be a sell for me. Before that, I was putting the guys like Sean Lane Smithies and Beau Fermor as potential sells, but I think now with Piakura, he's probably a priority. If you don't own Piakura and if you own someone like Sean Lane Smithies or Beau Fermor, like Sean Lane has been disappointing, I'll admit. You know, only a base power, a PPM of 0.5, so he's only getting about 40 as a floor each week. We need his attacking stats to come, and who knows, it may not be as good with Dillbags at halfback and Talangi at 5'8". But me personally, Sean Lane now isn't a priority sell. I don't hate the sell if you do want to free up a little bit of money going Lane to Kai Pierce-Paul, but he does have a good matchup against the Tigers this week and he doesn't have a buy until round 9, so I'm still leaning towards keeping Sean Lane. I was maybe thinking of selling Smithies this week, but no Corey Horsburgh in the 17. He's on the extended bench, so he could maybe get a look in. But only 66 minutes, well, 66 minutes is good, but he only scored 38 in that time. I would hope for a little bit more out of Smithies, so he's not a sell for me, but he's on the watch list as someone who I'm happy to potentially move on in the next couple of weeks. And Bo Fermor, it looks like Fifita could be back very soon as well. Fifita's been named on the 18th in the 18th man jersey. He could very easily come in on game day. If that means Bo Fermor's on the right-hand side, then yeah, he's probably also someone that you can look to sell as well. Kuipers Paul, we've already spoken about. And again, Josh Curran is a nice mid-range option. 471k. Scored, I think, about 52 last week. That's probably what you're more likely to get out of him is this kind of mid-50s average. So a very solid, safe option. Worth selling Piakoura or Sean Lane for Patrick Carrigan? So, I mean, of the two, I would be selling Piakoura. I'd be selling the guy who's injured. Carrigan is a decent option. Like, we know Carrigan is just, he plays big minutes. He played 80 minutes last week. He's just going to base that through the roof. You know, 61 last week and 65. So he's going to be like this kind of mid-60s averaging player. So I think he's fine at 676k. But I think at his price tag, or around that price tag, I'd prefer Olakuatu. Olakuatu is only about 20k more expensive. He doesn't have as good of a work rate, but he's got way more attacking upside. It's a good matchup against the Dragons this week. I definitely would prefer Olakuatu, I think, to Carrigan, if you're looking for a gun second row forward. Ryan, I think you've asked this question a few times, so I'll probably just tackle it here. Luke Brooks or Hamiso slash Dom Young? Probably one of the centers, just because they've both got lower break-evens. And as I said before, Dom Young is kind of who I'm leaning. So I'd probably go Young in that situation. You watched the Titans podcast. Fifi is not likely this week. Okay, good to know. So we'll see what happens there. If that's the case, then Bo Fermor could be a hold for at least one more week on the left edge for the Titans. Yeah, probably someone who I should have mentioned, Isaiah Papali'i. So Gowie just mentioned it here. What do you think about getting Isaiah in second row forward? Based 70. I don't think that was last week. I think that was the week before. So he based 44 last week, 49 the week prior. But last week's score, he did score a try. So he scored 71 with a try. So still 67 and 71. I don't mind it. Again, around this 500k range, 568k, you're looking at a guy who's going to give you a minimum of about 50, 52. But the next 3 weeks, Parramatta, Dolphins, and Dragons, all three of them are really good for matchups for attacking stats. So I think if you liked what you've seen out of IPAP, I think he's a pretty safe option as well that you can go to. So no major qualms with going with IPAP. It's always just about, you know, he's a little bit more expensive than some of these guys here. Can you maybe use that money elsewhere in your team? Alrighty, so I think I'm just trying to have a look at anything else we haven't really discussed. So yeah, a couple of guys who've also got negative break-evens, you know, Jack Bostock could also be a worthwhile downgrade at 314k. Great matchup against the Titans at negative 24 break-even. Josh Kerr as well, negative 23 break-even. A few people are going to be shopping in the front row forward. I think, you know, people are going to be looking at the likes of Xavier Willison. I personally, with Xavier Willison, want to wait a week just because he's only played the one game so far. He played about 42 minutes, I think, for a score of 51. I think he did get some attacking stats in that. So I think having a look here. So he based 35 in 42 minutes, which is solid. But again, I want to see what the minutes look like for one more week. I'm not actually that interested in the other Broncos forwards like Corey Jensen or a Fletcher Baker. Like Fletcher Baker played 70 minutes and scored 49, which is fine. I guess at his price tag is fine. But Corey Jensen, 432k, he played 46 minutes for 48. Just again, it's probably some value, but not a whole heap. And I'm kind of the view now, I'm just trying to minimize as many trades as I can in front row forward. So Liam Henry, for example, he's on this list here, negative 7 break even. Someone asked before about him from Tom. Tom was saying, is Henry a serious cash cow? Throwing up between him and Curran, or have both boats sailed? Is Kai Pierce-Paul more important? I don't think the boat has sailed on Liam Henry, so he's 200 and, I want to say, 87k. I mean, obviously, I was spruiking him up so much on social media last week. But what I like about him is that he's kind of, I think, while James Fisher-Harris is out, he's probably more likely going to be playing decent minutes. He played 42 minutes last week. I think while Fisher-Harris is out, I expect him to be playing around this, I want to say, 38-minute role. After that, maybe he goes back to like a 34 to 35. So I think he'll keep making some money, but not a huge amount because, you know, he's only averaging 42. And I think at his price tag, he's priced at like a mid-20s. So you're getting about 15 points of value, but I don't think he's going to make a serious amount of cash. It probably is the last week, I think, to go him. Otherwise, then you probably have missed the boat. Curran, I don't think he missed the boat because I think he's just going to be a solid option all season long. You know, kind of like 55 average is what I expect from him. So I think if you're prioritizing one of the two, I'd go Henry, get that negative break, even get the guy more likely to make the quick cash. Curran, I don't think his price is going to be going too crazy out of hand. I do like Kuypers Paul though this week. So I prefer Kuypers Paul to Curran this week as a trade-in, more for the lower break even. And I think better attacking upside as well from him, given the run that he has from round five onwards. Have I talked about what to do with Tuipiki? No, not yet. I'll probably talk about him when I get to my own team because I'm deliberating what to do with Tuipiki in my trades. Tom Flegler still looking good for a front row forward based on all the injuries. Yes, I agree. I think if you're in this market for a 400k-ish front row forward, it's probably still Flegler going to be the one. If you want someone a little bit cheaper, probably someone like a Josh Kerr. You know, we talked about the Dolphins run. It's a really good run. He was actually close to scoring a try as well in round two. Like, I don't think he's a bad option. Negative break even, he'll make some money. I mean, so far he's averaging 62, but if you look at just the game he's got in round two when he didn't get any attacking stats, we're looking at 48 points in 45 minutes with 48 in base. Like, he looks like he's going to be playing this low 40-minute mark, and he's got a good work rate. I think he's had a base power of 1.19 PPM, which is really good. So I think you're more likely going to be getting these kind of, you know, higher 40 scores, maybe low 50s, which at his price, he'll make some money. So I don't mind Kerr as a cheaper option. Is Isaiah Yeo too expensive? I mean, he's kind of just offering him value. Like, he's 727K. Yeah, he does feel a bit too expensive for me. I'd probably prefer Olakuatu. The thing with Isaiah Yeo, he does also have a buy in round six. Like, I know he's killed it so far the first couple of weeks. He has got a try assist in that score in round two. Yeah, I'd probably go Olakuatu for a cheaper price tag. Is To'o worth a look? Yeah, actually, one of the things I didn't even talk about Isaac Tungo in my center wing section. Brian To'o was another one. I mean, Tungo's been killing it. He's got a negative 21 break even. All I can say with him is I think if you want him, just get him because he's been on a good longer term run. I think shout out to the Whisperer who said that over the last 10 games of Isaac Tungo for Supercoach, so this is going back as well into 2023, in the last 10 games, he's got four scores over 100. So like back end of last year, 118, 108, but then he was injured for a long time. And then he's come out and scored two really big scores to start off with for 2024. So I think Tungo, no Cleary, so maybe there's less ball going down the right-hand side if you want to do some kind of bias to not get him. But like, look, he's expensive. He's 774K. I'd probably still prefer Garrick without a buy and the goal kicking and the better matchup this week. But yeah, To'o is definitely worth a shout. But again, early buy, a buy coming up in round six probably is enough for me to fade him when we've got so many other good options who don't have buys coming up. Well, when to sell Flanagan? I think if you can go Flanagan to Galvin this week, then I think I'd probably just do that move. ShifterPod says, should I get Galvin and Appy or Galvin and Hammer? I think we kind of spoke about this before, so really you're prioritizing Appy or Hammer. I think Appy, just because of the negative break-even that he has, whereas Hammer's not got as low of a break-even. And I think from a points point of view, they're probably going to... I think Appy could actually be a higher averaging player this season than Hammer, so. And he's cheaper as well, actually. He's in the 500s, whereas Hammer's so 600. So, yeah, probably Appy would be preferring. Alrighty, we'll quickly touch on captaincy for this week, and then I think we'll get into my team and then some questions, and then we'll round it out, and then I can go have my dinner. So in terms of the VCs and captaincies this week, the clear standout matchup to me was that Dragons Manly one. So I've got Tommy Turbo here as the VC slash C option, but he could just be a straight captaincy option. If Cleary was fit, I was going to put Cleary as my vice-captain with a good matchup against, who did Penrith even play? Well, actually, it's not a good matchup, but it's Penrith. So I was going to VC Cleary. But I think now with Penrith being under strength, I think VC Tedesco could be a good option. The only issue this week is that a lot of the good options are in the fullbacks. You know, even someone like a Drinkwater or a Val Holmes against the Broncos could be options. So I think, you know, Teddy is a good VC option. Like my two own best candidates are probably Latrell and Turbo, but they're both at fullback. You can't go both of them. So if you're only going one of them, then I'd be going Turbo. I think it's an away matchup, but he has looked closer to scoring big. I like the shout here from Ape Index, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, vice-captain. I don't mind that shout at all. I think playing against the Knights at home at fullback is really good. The only problem is that RTS plays on the Sunday, 4 o'clock. Remember, it's a longer week this week as well. We've got a game on Monday for Easter Monday. But he plays after Turbo, RTS. I'm kind of thinking, do I want to run the gauntlet of VC Turbo, Captain Tuivasa-Sheck? Or do I go VC Turbo and then Captain Hines, who, look, I know Hines has been frustrating, but, you know, we're looking at a Sunday evening game against the Raiders, who have been good, but the Sharks have lost a lot of their forward pack. We didn't really talk about that. They've lost a lot of forwards for this particular week. We haven't even spoken about Kale Iroh getting a start for the Sharks, but in any case, he's not an option just because I think after the bye in round five, he probably won't be in that team any longer. But yeah, I think someone from the Roosters is a good shout. You could maybe just go VC Dom Young if you bring him in this week. And then maybe you go captaincy on Turbo, because Turbo to me feels like a strong captain option. Or you can go VC Turbo, and then straight after on the Saturday evening game, you can go maybe captain like Hamiso. But Hamiso does have a low base, so I don't love it. But yeah, RTS I think could be a great option. Garrick is a bit of an outside shout. The Dragons last season actually conceded the most points to opposition centre wings. So looks good on paper for Garrick. Captain on Holmes. Yeah, look, I think Holmes as well. Broncos versus Cowboys at Suncorp, 8 p.m. Yeah, I think a VC Holmes and a captaincy Turbo would be a good combo to run. I think a lot of people are saying that in the chat as well. VC Hughes. Jerome Hughes is not playing this week, sorry. thoughts on Hammer Captain. Harry Parker, thank you so much for that donation. Literally just said it as well. I think Hammer Captain is intriguing, but Harry, if you've got an option, I think, or can I? I was going to say, can I refund you the $3? Because honestly, like, I've answered your question already before you did it. So if you've got an option to pull it back, mate, just do it. Don't worry about it, because I just answered your question anyway. Yeah, I don't love the Hammer captaincy. Just I think the low base. Like, he scored a hat trick and didn't even score over 100. Turbo scored 70. Oh, he scored 86 last week with like what, one try assist? Oh no, he scored a try and a try assist actually. Sorry, but yeah, Turbo to me just feels like the guy this week. I might just run. I might even not bother with the VC. I might just run straight captaincy on Turbo. But I think Val home owners or Drinkwater owners, you can go VC on one of them. The only issue with Boise with VC Drinkwater is that you just deny yourself then going Turbo. And I just feel like Turbo, this is the week for him. Surely this is the week he goes big. That's all I'm thinking. All right. So that is, a couple of other captaincy shouts. Gutherson as well. If you do get Gutherson this week, he could be a pod shout as captain. But don't think a lot of people would be bringing him in this week as it is. Harry, love the content. Thank you so much. But I don't think trading him in is a waste, Harry. Definitely not. No, I think he's a very, very good trade in this week, Hammer. Just, do I have the extra cojones to captain him? Probably not. But I think he is a good trade in this week. Turbo straight captain for sure from Moz. Yeah, I think I'm going to be leaning that way as well. Adam, Amar, just wanted to drop in and say that you're making amazing content. Top-notch guy and a joy to watch. Adam, love you. Appreciate that. Very, very kind of you. If I had Turbo, would be nice, but I have Latrell, who's getting another crispy 30. Please, God, please, Latrell. I'm a Roosters fan. I don't even want the Rabbitohs to do well. I'm actually loving their demise. Apologies, all Rabbitohs fans. But Latrell, if the Bulldogs can just win like 32-30, but Latrell gets like 150, please, is it too hard to ask for that? Is it too much to ask for that? All right, guys, we'll quickly get onto my team and then I'll answer a lot of your questions, hopefully, and then we'll round it up there. Let me just make sure you guys can actually see this okay. And guys, in the little while it takes me to get to my team, give the stream a like as well if you have been enjoying it. Let me just zoom in a little bit so you guys can see. Oh, Jay, thank you so much with the $5 super chat. Yes, in my opinion, Turbo / Garrick are the most likely to explode this round for captain. Isako maybe, depends on how bad the Titans really are. Yeah, Actually, that's a good point. This is what happens when the buy happens. You just forget about the team that is on the buy. But yeah, someone like a Jermaine Asako, like he scored 80 points in round two. Then he's got the Titans this week. He's very expensive. He's 783K. But if you want to go pod, go Jermaine Asako. Yes, he could actually go really, really big. Alrighty. So in terms of my team, here's what I'm thinking of doing. Spencer Lenu is going to survive another week, I think, most likely. Because I actually have enough money to go someone like him to Josh Kerr. But I'm looking at it as like, that just feels a bit meh. And no James Fisher-Harris, I'm going to roll out Liam Henry again because I trust my man. If he gets me at least 40 to 45, I'll take it. I'm playing a 287K front row forward. Harry Grant on the bye, but for reasons I mentioned earlier, I don't think I'll be going him out to Appy. I think I'll just be keeping him. So Lusick will step in as the primary dummy half. At the moment, I've got Curran, Smithies, Burbo, and Lane in my second row forward. Not fantastic. Piakura's out. Cleary's out, of course, as well. I've already got Galvin and Dillbags. And then my centre wings are looking... My centre wings I'm happy with this week. Mulatalo, Tuivasa Sheck, Talon May, and Bostock I'll be playing this week. Ethan Strange I won't be playing. It's a tough away game against the Warriors. And then, Turbo and Latrell, Turbo captain currently. So I think probably what I'm looking to do this week, obviously Cleary, I'm probably going to sell Cleary. I know actually, interestingly enough, Adam is saying to you, Cleary is a hard hold. I'm not saying he's a hard sell, but I do think he is a sell. So I'm probably personally going to be selling Cleary. And I'll sell Piakura as well, who looks like he's going to be out for 4 weeks. Yeah, shout out to Liam Henry. Best character arc, mate. Liam Henry. I feel very blessed to have gone Liam Henry, not Poasa Famasuli, who, by the way, hasn't been named again for the Bulldogs. I don't know what's happening there. But yeah, it's just these 50-50 decisions, and this one looks like it has worked in my favour, at least to start off with by siding with him. So yeah, Piakura will be getting traded this week. And I think Pierce Paul is who I'm getting. So a couple of people were asking, is Kai Pierce Paul a good trade-in? I think so. That's why I'm bringing him in. You may think I curse people when I trade them in, but so do with the information what you will. I'm getting Kai Pierce Paul this week. I really like the run coming up from round five onwards. He's actually shown some good work rate. Not expecting a lot this week. It's a very tough kind of matchup against the Warriors away. But I think from next week onwards, I probably will want him. And he played 80 minutes, even with Lucas on the bench. So I feel like there's enough for me to go there. Cleary, I think I will be selling as well. Now, see, this is the problem. I don't have the duels to go to a center wing. I don't have a Hutchinson. By the way, let me quickly actually show people the whole way you can switch around your team. So, for example, if I wanted to bring in a second row, let's say I wanted to bring in Kai Pierce-Paul, but let's say I wanted to sell Tuipiki, I press trade, and then you should see for your dual eligible players a little substitute sign. So you can press that, and you can sub Ben Trbojevic down to your center wing. Now I can trade in a second row forward for Tuipiki. You would do the same thing if you have a Drew Hutchinson, if you're looking to sell Cleary to a center wing. But yes, anyway, so Piakura to Kai Pierce-Paul is very likely happening. In terms of the halfback replacement, SJ could be tempting with the good run, but I think, as I said, I think I'll end up going Luke Brooks. I like the matchup this week, and I like what I've been seeing out of him and Manly. So I think I'll be going Brooks. I could leave it at that. Like, Burbo didn't play full 80 minutes last week. But, what was I going to say? He has a good matchup against the Dragons. I still think he's fine to keep this week, but I might not play him in my 17. So I've got 359K in the bank here currently. Could just do that. Could just chill, play. I could just play Sean Lane, Hines, Galvin, and Mitchell as my four reserves. All good. But it's boost season. It's boost time. So I think I'll be boosting. I think I'll be getting rid of someone else. I think, like, I haven't fully made up my mind yet on Tuipiki, but I do feel like I can sell him this week. So he obviously misses this week. He does have a relatively low break-in. So he's got a break-in of 8, so he still will make some money. The only issue, and I would really love to get some news about CNK this week as well, because if it looks like CNK is going to be back next week, then I think I will sell Tua Peake. And I can sell Tua Peake for a gun center wing, like we spoke about so many, 683K in the bank. Based on what I've said before, you know, I can get someone like a Dom Young. And then what that lets me do is it lets me bench Burbo. Even though he does have a good matchup, I can avoid playing him. Maybe that's overthinking, but, you know, I've got that flexibility. Because then what I would be doing is I'd keep all four of these center wings. I'd probably reserve someone like a Bostock. So I'd be reserving Bostock, Galvin, Nico, and one of my second row forwards. I mean, I don't even have to play Galvin, but I like what I've seen out of Galvin. He's actually got a good work rate. So I think I will play Galvin this week. And then I'd probably just bench one of my second row forwards. I'd play Kai Pissball. I'd play Sean Lane. I'd play Curran. And so the decision would be between Smithies and Burbo. So this is currently what I'm thinking for trades, but I would like to get some idea as to what's happening with CNK and his return. Because there's no need to rush out to a Peaky. But that's what I'm kind of considering at the moment. I could obviously use this, like if I wanted, I could use this money to go Spencer Lenu out. But the problem is that Adam Fanua Blake is probably the front forward who I'd want to get if I'm spending big, but I can't even afford him. So I don't think I'm going to be doing it. So we're going to roll out with Liam Henry. Joe Chan has a negative break even, so I don't really want to sell him. I mean, I could sell Jacob Gagai. See, this is the thing. Because Gagai's price, I can only get someone who's 560K. So I can't get like a Hamaso or like a Dom Young. If I could afford that, I would have done that instead, because then it would have given me 1 week information on Tua Peake. What I think I'll probably do is more likely Tua Peake out for someone like a Dom Young. And then next week, I can do Jacob Gagai out for Blaise Salungi, if he looks like, because he'll be playing in for his third game. So I could go someone like Gagai to Blaise Salungi. And then Mulatalo is also on a buy next week. So I could actually just sell Mulatalo. I wonder what Mulatalo's break-even is. He's got a break-even of 29. If he gets to like 720-30K, this is the planning I need to do. Because if I go someone like Hamaso, who's a little bit cheaper, then I have 83K. That probably gets me, it gets me closer to doing Mulatalo to Val Holmes if I wanted to next week, but I don't have to. But yeah, this is currently what I'm thinking at the moment. So I think Kai Pierce-Paul, Luke Brooks, and Dom Young in for Tua Peake, Piakura, and Cleary. So I think Piakura and Cleary definitely out, and I think I'm pretty locked in into Pierce-Paul and Luke Brooks. It's really just on this third boost if I want to do the boost. Couldn't I upgrade? I'm assuming that means Taylor May. Yeah, could, but I don't really want to sell Taylor May, to be honest. I like that he's got a Panthers matchup. I like that he plays in Penrith Panthers team. So I think Taylor May for me is just kind of an indefinite hold. I'm not really looking at actually selling him. Young seems like a bit of a bait versus Penrith. I would normally agree, except it's only because it's a Cleary less, a Sorensen less, and a James Fisher-Harris less Penrith Panthers as well. Why don't I do Gagai to Finifuyaki? Like, Finifuyaki is fine, but I'd rather get, I think, one of these big upside, bigger negative break-even guys, which is someone like a Dom Young, a Hamaso, or I try to spend up big and get someone like a Garrick. I feel like the center wing is where I want to be trying to make some moves, because second or forward at the moment feels a bit eh. Like, sure, I could spend up for Olakuatu, but on a good day, he gets maybe like 90 to 100. On a good day with one of these center wings, they kind of seem to get like 130, 140. But yeah, that's currently my trade plans at the moment. So what I'll do, I'll leave that up on the screen. But yeah, we'll do about 5 more minutes of questions just because I want to try to get to as many as I can. But then otherwise, we'll probably just wrap up the stream there. We've already been going for an hour 15. And guys, yeah, please do give the stream a like if you have enjoyed it. Pharmacilli owners keeping tabs on Xavier Willison. Yeah, for sure. If you don't get Liam Henry this week, you could go Willison next week instead. Thoughts on Fodawaker? So, like, Fodawaker's been a solid option in the past. Like, I think he averaged more than 60 last season. Oh, no, he averaged 55 last season, 50 the year prior to that. I just don't know. Like, his price is awkward, 564K. He already averaged pretty big minutes last year, like 60 plus for an average of 55. So I don't think he's really going to benefit that much with Tino being out. So, yeah, for me, probably just not an option. I think the price is a little bit awkward. Aman, how can I get Appy to Cleary? Oh, there's a couple question in the super chat. Oh, sorry, Jay. My apologies. Sorry, my God, so bad. I just went into my team rambling. No, thank you so much for pushing me. Thanks for bringing up, pulling me up on that, Jay. And I appreciate the donation as well. Thanks so much. You don't have to boost this week, but if you did, you can get Appy, Bostock, and Dom Young, or you can keep the boost and get Hammer and Young. So basically, you're boosting for. So you get Hammer and Young, or you get Appy, Bostock, and Young. So you miss out on Hammer, but you get Appy and Bostock if you boost. I like the boosts, to be honest. I like getting an Appy. I think Young could edge Hammerso. And I like Bostock as well. At least with Bostock, you are getting someone from the Dolphins backline who could benefit with this really good run. And I think with Appy, you could be locking in a season keeper potentially. Yeah, I prefer the boost. Look, it's boosting season. It's boost time. Appy or Kuypers pool. Hate the idea of boosting for KPP personally. Yeah, I think if you're looking for strictly one of the two this week, it would be Appy, I think, for me. Just lower break even, more likely to be a season keeper than Kuypers pool. Would I trade out Plath for Galvin? Now, this is interesting because, yeah, Plath has been named to start at lock as well. I believe he has a negative. Yeah, he's got a negative 11 break even. Oh, jeez, that's tough. Would I trade him out for Galvin? Part of me says yes, just because I think Galvin's going to be locked into this role. I think he's got the ability to just average 50 plus for the season and make so much money at bottom dollar. It feels luxury, but like I do prefer Galvin out of the two. Ben says, first year playing, boosted the first 2 weeks. Does this screw me later on? Is there a strat for holding more X amount of trades? Not necessarily. Like people in the, like, I've historically found that people who boost hard at the beginning of the season, so long as they get the right people, generally are going to win out. Because I think the beginning of the season is when the cash prices are kind of happening a little bit bigger. You're getting these, you're jumping on people with the negative break evens more in the early parts of the season. By boosting to get more of these guys, you're building that squad depth and building the cash. That helps you then in the future get in one or two extra guns that maybe other teams can't. So I personally find that teams who boost hard at the beginning of the season, so long as they're boosting for the right players, I think generally actually do pretty well. So I think generally what I find as a strategy is you trade hard for the first kind of 6 rounds, 6, 7 rounds, then, or maybe even let's call it 5, 6 rounds. You trade pretty hard, make sure you try to set up your team correctly. Then you can probably chill out from like round 6 to round 9, where you can maybe look to just do like one trade a week, save some trades. And then from like round 10 onwards, really start to maybe look at targeting your buy planning, like your big buys in round 13, round 16, round 19. You can kind of start using trades at around that time again. And then hopefully by saving those trades between round 6 to round 10, you use those trades then in the back end of the season to bring in some of those extra guns. That's kind of generally how I think. I know people have had success keeping boosts for the back end of the season, but it does feel like generally the boosts work earlier on in the season. But of course, it always depends on who you're actually bringing in. Would I sell May to fund Dom Young? Probably not. Like, I know Taylor May was a bit disappointing last week with only a 30, but I just don't want to sell a guy who is playing in this Gunn Penrith backline. Should I get Galvin in for Cleary? I honestly don't hate it. Like, you're obviously getting like 680k, but like, I think Galvin is a great trade in this week. Big negative break even. He should make a stack of cash. Is Pierre Kura to Dom Young, Cleary to Brooks, and Jacob Gagai to Galvin good trades? Yeah. Austin, those are very similar trades to what I think I'm doing, apart from the Galvin one. No, I think those are good trades. Like, yeah, if you can do Gagai to Galvin, I think that's really solid. Harry Parker, $8. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. That was really, really generous. So to bring in Appy, Brooks, and Hamiso, yep, for Cleary, Tuipiki, and Levi. It would be your third boost of the season so far. You answered about the boost. Do you rate this? Yeah, I rate that boost. Levi to Appy is a huge upgrade. I like Cleary to Brooks. And Tuipiki to Hammer, so I think is a good. Yeah. No, I think that's a good boost. I know it's your third boost, but like I think you're getting in. Appy and Hammer, so it could be two season keepers. Brooks could be a great stepping stone. I mean, the other thing with Brooks as well, he's got 5'8 halfback dual. So let's say rounds, maybe Cleary's not back round 7. Let's say, okay, fine. Let's say he's back round 7. But Brooks has been killing it and you want to keep him. Well, by round 7, Galvin would have had 1, 2, 3, 3 or 4 price rises. He could potentially be up to like 450K. And so maybe you just go Galvin to Cleary, and you, if you've got cash elsewhere in your team, you go Galvin to Cleary, and then you swap Brooks down to your 5'8", and then maybe you have Brooks and dual bags as your 2 5'8s. So I like, there's that flexibility as well with Brooks, which I do like. How do you get Appy to Cleary? Well, if you've got Appy to Cleary to Appy, you'd have to have someone who's got like a hooker, second or forward dual, but I don't really know of many players who have that this year. All right, we'll do 2 more questions, then I think we'll wrap it up because my voice is starting to hurt. Jason says, thinking of going Cleary to Brooks, Tuipiki to Garrick, is loading on too many Manly players a bad play, considering you already have Burbo in your other centre wing, or should I go Holmes instead? Jason, to be honest, I don't think there's an issue going on too many Manly players because I think they're a good attacking team. But if you, it sounds like you've got the ability to go Holmes instead of Garrick, I would definitely prefer going Val Holmes over Garrick. I think Holmes just looks to be, on a bad day, 60, really good run for the Cowboys, and I think it's a better run than Garrick. So I'd probably prefer going Holmes, personally. I mean, this week, Garrick could probably outscore him because he's got the Dragons, Holmes has got the Broncos, but then Holmes has got Titans next week. I think he plays against the Titans again not that long after. Is it worth going Levi to Appy and then leaving uninjured, or leaving, yes, Oliver, yeah, I think your question... yes, that's completely fine. It's completely fine to leave Tuipiki for a week because he may still play next week. We just don't know yet. All right, last question from Stefanos. What do you think of these trades? Cleary to Hutcho, Levi to Coruscant, Lukey to Kuypers Paul. I don't love Cleary to Hutchinson. I know Hutchinson scored well last week, but just before last week, people were thinking about selling him. I think his biggest value so far this season is that people can use him via duels to get to like a center wing. So I don't love that move particular. Levi to Coruscant. Oh, Coruscant, yeah, I like that one. Yep, that's a really good move. And Lukey to Kuypers Paul, I think, is perfectly fine as well. You've got 296K. Surely you can afford Brooks. If you add 296K to Hutchinson's price of like, say, 330, you should be able to afford Luke Brooks. I prefer getting Brooks to Hutchinson. That's probably just me personally. Or you can even afford someone like a Sam Walker instead. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up the stream there. 1 hour, 23 minutes, a very, very long one, but obviously huge amount of things to get through this week. Hopefully you all enjoyed it. Do give the stream a like on the way out if you did. Do subscribe as well if you are new here and you haven't yet subscribed to the channel to see more content during the season. But thank everyone for joining. I think this is actually the most viewers we've had on a stream. I think we're peaking at like 281 at one point, which is insane to have 281 people watch me. But really good stream. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you all in the next one. Cheers.